Welcome. I am Liz White, a member of Hartford Baptist Church, and I am sharing with you today some thoughts on the third sign in John's Gospel, that of Jesus healing the lame man who sat by the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath. In a moment, I will be reading this story in John 5, verses 1 to 15 from the New International Version. If you want to follow the reading in your Bible, pause the recording now whilst you find it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that wherever we are and whenever we are listening to this, that you are close by. Thank you that your love for each one of us never falters or fails. We pray that you would settle our hearts and minds as we seek to listen to what you have to say to us in our current days. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray that you would enable us to know that we are in your presence and that we would hear what you are saying to us as individuals and as a church, and that we would have the courage to follow your leading. We love you, we trust you, and we want to obey you. Bless us, we pray. Amen. The reading is from John 5, verses 1 to 15, and I'm reading from the New International Version. The healing at the pool. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralysed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. We are looking at an encounter that was near to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Only two other signs or miracles are recorded in John before this: the wedding in Cana, where he turned water into wine, and the healing of the government official's son from a distance. In both these cases, someone came to Jesus and asked for his help. Today, we're seeing Jesus taking the initiative in the life of a person who was suffering. This happens on a Sabbath, which leads Jesus into controversy with the religious leaders of his time. What is John showing us about Jesus' ministry through this sign? The setting is the Sabbath, and a holiday where all the Jewish men were required to come into Jerusalem. The scene is the pool of Bethesda by the side of the Sheep Gate. This was where the sick, blind, lame and paralysed waited for the moving of the waters. From time to time an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease they had. It is possible that news of Jesus' miraculous powers had not reached the sickly bunch gathered at the pool of Bethesda, dependent on charitable gifts for their survival. Being by a city gate was a good place to beg from. There were many passers-by, and today would be a good day for passers-by who might have time on their hands and a more generous disposition to visit at the pool and make a public display of their religiously required charitable giving. Jesus cuts through right to the nub of the issue, so I will too. The first thing Jesus says is, "Do you want to get well?" Now, that's either dumb, mean, or insightful. Either A, it was dumb. Jesus hadn't a clue what was going on in this man, although John has already said Jesus knew what was in the hearts of all men. Or B, it was mean and was absolutely insensitive in questioning the motives of someone who had been trying to get better for 38 years and no one would help him. Or C, he did know the man's heart and he did want the best for him. You decide. For me, Jesus knew the man. Interesting that the next time Jesus meets him, his first words are, "Now you are well, so stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you." So it sounds like this guy had another agenda in his life. I'm quite struck that Jesus even wants the biggest rogues to be healed. It's good, isn't it? But this question goes right to the heart of you and me. Half the time we don't really want what we say we want, even though we have convinced ourselves that we do. Now, some of us may be on universal sympathy. Where would we get it from if our lives were happy and more whole and we hadn't so much to complain about? And some of us are on universal self-pity and comfort ourselves with large daily doses. And some of us are on universal lockdown. Thus far, Jesus, but no further. David Benner, a leading Christian psychologist and an author, wrote a book entitled Desiring God's Will. His thesis was simple. Knowing God's will is easy. Wanting to actually do it is the hard bit. A lot of us make out that knowing God's will is difficult, but ask yourselves, don't we more often know what God wants us to be or to be doing, but we haven't the desire to get on and do it? Change is frightening to most people. Becoming different is an admission of having something that needed correcting. Life in the unfamiliar is scary. We may look childish, juvenile, make mistakes. Better to stay within the confines and image that we have learned to master. Do you want to get well? Do you want to change? Do you want to shake up the old paradigms of your life and rather unexciting Christian faith and rock the world a bit? Do you want to be a disturbing influence, like it turned out this healed chap was to the Jewish leaders? God's not allowed this virus crisis for nothing, you know. In all things, he is working for good. Yes, even this, and it could include the shaking of the church that Haggai prophesied. Unless you and I really mean we want to change, we might just be the same in another 38 years. Being healed by Jesus is the easy bit. Changing our hearts to want his changes is the miracle. The man didn't actually answer Jesus' question. Instead, he blamed others. Well, well, fancy that. I would if it wasn't for my family, my job, my boss, my sciatica, my mother-in-law, etc., etc., which are all our favourite excuses for not moving on with the things that God has pointed us towards. But having given the implication, "I would if I could," the man had little choice but to have a go. So he does get up and walk. But there's no celebration like there was with the Gerasene demoniac or the lame man at Beautiful Gate or others. He might have been thinking, "Now, what am I going to tell the DWP? Or for many of us, "Now, what am I going to tell people about my old familiar problems?" When they meet again, Jesus and the man, at the temple, Jesus challenges him about other things in his life. Seems like he's got a lot of thinking to do. However, we see no evidence of any change in his heart. Having been told off by the Jewish leaders for carrying his mat on the Sabbath, as soon as he knew that it was Jesus that healed him, he kept type and he went back to the leaders to say, "It was Jesus who told me to carry it," to lay the blame somewhere else. Well, he had waited 38 years to be healed, yet when he is, immediately he goes to the officials and tells them that Jesus healed him. He betrays Jesus. But who was this healing really for? What is this sign all about? Jesus knew what day it was. It was the Sabbath. Maybe it was incidental who was healed. Jesus knew very well who would be upset by what he did, and they fell for it. Jesus wanted the Jewish leaders to know who had done it on the Sabbath. It was a deliberate affront to them, a provocation to challenge their thinking and lifestyle, to challenge their motivation. They probably turned a wonderful hue of green. The Jewish rulers were not amazed that the lame man was walking. They were annoyed that he was carrying his mat on the Sabbath. Hey, guys, get a life. You're missing the whole point. Jesus had come to stir up the religious leaders who were caught up in their own traditions and had no concern for the folk who didn't go to church, who really needed their help, who these religious leaders were, in fact, getting in the way of the people coming to God. What would we say if Jesus wanted to turn upside down many of our assumptions and paradigms of his church and us as his followers? Here's a story of a pastor. I was being interviewed for a pastoral position in a church. The elders told me they wanted their church to start reaching the lost and were looking for a pastor who could lead them in that direction. "It's possible some drastic changes will be necessary," I told them. "Are you ready and willing to do whatever it takes to reach others with the gospel?" They assured me that they were. So I continued. "Let's say, after much prayer and careful discussion, the elders decided that to reach the community with the gospel, God wanted us to sell the church building." Silence. Crickets chirped in the background. Finally, one elder spoke up. "Well, that would never happen. The building is an essential part of our ministry." So I tried again. "But you said you were willing to do anything to reach your community with the gospel. So what if the elders unanimously agreed after much prayer and discussion that one of the things God wanted you to do was to sell your building? Is that something you'd be willing to do?" The same elder spoke up again. "We would never come to that agreement. We need our building to reach our community with the gospel. How can we reach the community if we don't have a building? We're willing to do anything to reach the community, but the things we want to do in the community require a building." The interview moved on, and it was no surprise when they didn't call me back for a second interview. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, our hearts are stirred. Are we getting in the way of people finding you? Show us where we have got things wrong, what we need to let go of, what changes there need to be in our lives, in our assumptions. Show us where we are blaming others rather than taking responsibility for the things that need to change in our own lives. Forgive us. Help us to turn again to you. Enlarge our minds. make us into the people you created us to be. Amen.